This is Pure Decking, show number 336 for Thursday, February 14th, 1984. It is, you know, Happy Singles Awareness Day to everybody. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and trying to make everybody else spit out whatever it is they're drinking. I'm Morps, which is not the joke I wrote, by the way.
Hey! That's what happens by doing it live.
I'm Morps. Tonight, I am back on the Jim Beam Devil's Cut. And we have a fox. What's up, fox?
Good evening. I am currently drinking the Sexton Single Malt Irish Whiskey.
Fancy.
Damn skippy.
We have
a skeleton on the bottle and everything.
Boy, that's what you want. We have a madman.
Hola. I'm drinking Old Fizzy Wiggle, which is an ale brewed with cinnamon, ginger, and orange peel.
Sounds like a children. It's children's booze.
I will shank you with this beer bottle.
Just
like a real Mexican.
I think that hurt one. It'd be much more impressive.
It would be more impressive. And finally, RU is here.
I have a large glass of room temperature steam.
RU's Australian, so anything that he's imbibing has alcohol content.
Oh, you're just tempting me now.
Brought to you by Australia.
There you go.
Damn right.
All right.
Towards a fucked up dystopia.
Yep, there we go. Anyways.
I thought that was from Brussels.
Also, yes.
Yeah. Also, yes. So, anyways, I don't know how long the show's going to be tonight. Voices still getting there. Hell of a lot better than last week, though. So, but I don't have a hell of a lot in the way of news stories, so we'll just see how it goes. To open with, though, we'll start with this article from the BBC. This has been all over the place, but this just happens to be the article I got. It's the YouTube copyright extortion system being abused by... did I say that right? Copyright system being abused by extortion. Yeah, it is. So, something like that. Anyways, Google has removed a YouTube channel after it was found to be abusing copyright claims to extort money from users. Kenzo and Obi Raids, whose channels predominantly feature them playing Minecraft. I don't know, that just felt appropriate. Reported receiving messages demanding money in exchange for dropping two claims against them. These messages threatened that refusal to pay would result in a third copyright strike, which, according to Google, results in YouTube banning or in a YouTube channel being subject to termination. The extorter's YouTube account has been deleted, and the illegal activity was made public. Those channels were actually pretty small. And we're pretty sure that if all these news outlets hadn't picked up on it, YouTube wouldn't have done shit.
Yeah.
So, anyways, the tweet from Team YouTube says, appreciate you bringing this to our attention. Both strikes are resolved and the video is reinstated. Upon the review, these takedown notices were abusive, and we have zero tolerance for the submission of fraudulent legal requests, so we've terminated the channels that submitted these. No! That is not what the Digital Millennium Copyright says. What it says is if you make fraudulent claims, you can be sued. This shouldn't be an instance of YouTube shutting them down. Like, oh, yeah, sorry about that. This should be you suing the shit out of the people doing the extortion so that it doesn't happen again.
But 9 times out of 10, they're in foreign countries, and we draw out the legal process, and there's all these filibustering and things where it's like, they'll probably settle out of court, or no one's going to give a fuck. Yeah. I've seen a ton of these recently of big companies or no-name companies that are set up as LLCs out of China claiming copyright against, you know, the top X number of YouTubers. for, you know, any kind of weird reason, the fucked up thing that YouTube does is that they grant all of the monetary gain during the time of the claim to the accuser.
Yeah,
I have to do is PewDiePie or whomever fucking YouTube celebrity right now just posted a shit ton of content that I made. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
But you're going to get some money in the meantime.
I'm going to get the fucking revenue the entire time while you're investigating it. And if it's behind an LLC, you sue the LLC for the $2.15 that it costs to register them, and you're getting nothing else. And so it becomes profitable for all these little, you know, trolls or corporations or whoever does it create these accounts that file copyright claims and then have, like, literally no recourse against them because, oh, we're part of an LLC. We filed our LLC license, and that's all we own. Here you go. You can have our $20. We took in, you know, $5,000.
Well, you know, we did a story a couple of years ago about when YouTube first started doing that, about, you know, allowing the people claiming copyright to make the money on the videos and people abusing the hell out of it, where they would make the claim and then wait like the 29 days when the limit's 30 days and then drop it. So at that point, you know, you've lost most of the money the video is going to make because they apparently, you know, when they first release is when you make the most. It's one of the reasons I've basically stayed away from YouTube is, yeah, I've had some ideas for some channels and some stuff to do and you know, even explored it a couple of times. And, you know, every time something like this will happen, and it's like, you know what, it's probably just not worth the headache. So,
I mean, the fucked up thing is the burden of proof is not on the accuser. Like, all these people, they can throw up claims, like, just, you know, throw a blanket. All of these fucking videos have our media in them. They throw out a blanket claim.
Oh, hell,
they get the revenue.
There was a video the other day where it was literally a dude saying test, 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 because he was testing his live stream, and it got copyright claimed. It wasn't even publicly posted. It was apparently posted privately because he was just testing. And he put up the video showing it and showing that he got copyright claimed on him saying test. It was literally him talking to the camera. How the hell? You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, he managed to get a hold of somebody at YouTube over Twitter, and they looked into it and said, yeah, we think there might be a bug in the algorithm.
Oh, no,
glad
shit.
You saw it.
A bug.
Glad you caught it.
We got done in by Hacker Man. He took all our bits and et cetera, computer jargon.
Let's see. Kenzo and OB Raids both received messages demanding payment from $75 to $400 to be sent via PayPal or Bitcoin. Neither paid, and British YouTuber Kenzo, who has 60,000 subscribers, took to social media to plead for help after one of his videos was taken down by the extorter's second fraudulent copyright strike. In response to Kenzo's tweet, YouTube said they both claims against him have been obviously abusive, and it reinstated his video. Yeah, we already read that tweet. Google, which owns YouTube, did not respond to a request for information. A successful copyright takedown notification results in a video being removed and the infringing YouTube channel receiving a copyright strike. To make such a claim, an individual must provide their contact information and description of the copyright they say that has been infringed by the video in question. The applicant must also accept possible legal consequences for both false or bad faith allegations of copyright infringement. But U.S.-based YouTuber OB Raids now has called the system broken in a video posted on his channel. Anybody he can do it, he said. They make it so easy to take somebody's channel down, they strike a few videos, and your channel is terminated. The way I look at it, YouTube just put a Band-Aid on a much bigger issue, he said, reporting to the deletion of the extorter's account. This is more... Well, it's not just extortion. I mean, extortion's the most obvious abuse of this, but, I mean, you know, what if you've got political videos up? What if you're, you know, I don't know, arguing unpopular opinions about... I don't know, pick something controversial, climate change or something, right? You know, somebody doesn't like what you're saying, they just go content strike you 3 times and kill your channel, especially if that's your livelihood. I mean, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, and the fucked up thing is YouTube is putting the burden of proof on the accused instead of the accuser. So it's like, anyone can like, oh, hey, I'm going to throw 3 strikes against 3 random videos of this one guy that I want to demonetize. Because his latest video is making a shit ton of money, and we're going to take that in.
Well, not only that, but So you said the burden of proof is on the person who posted the video, but they have a dispute system. But here's the fucked up part. It's not arbitrated by YouTube or a third party or anything. If you have a dispute and you send it off, that dispute goes back to the person who made the copyright claim to, you know, whether they agree with you or not. So if they're doing extortion, or if they're trying to, you know, silence speech they don't like, or they're just, you know, corporate dicks and they don't really care, you know, whether you have a claim to fair use or not, they're just going to hit deny the moment it comes up. They're not even going to review it. It's not. It doesn't go to any kind of actual review. You're just asking the person. It's basically asking the person who sent a copyright strike against you to say, "Are you sure?" Which, of course, they're just going to click yes. They're just like, "Nope, nope, that was a real thing." So,
yeah, I mean, there's a reason the American court system is based off of, you know, the, you know, innocent until proved guilty, not the other way around. And it's like they've taken this from the opposite angle, guilty until proved innocent. And it's like they obviously, like, you cannot have a staff that is going to review every single claim on YouTube and say whether or not it has violated your copyright claims. Like, it's just the amount of people on the internet right now could not. They can't contain something like that. It's all got to come down to the burden of proof lies on the accuser, and whoever's making the claim has to just be like, hey, you know, Joe Blow YouTuber just took my movie and took a clip out of it, and it fell outside of fair right because they posted the entire movie but sped up like 2%. And posted it on the internet. Like, okay, that might be a legitimate claim. Whereas, like, oh, somebody walking by while, like, videotaping themselves on a New York street corner, and someone with a boombox is walking by playing the latest, you know.
Yeah, you're thinking too innocent, man. I mean, this is flat-out extortion, right?
It is.
So
it is. Like, I'm trying to start from a baseline of innocence and going to the, oh, that's a nice channel you have there. Sure would be a shame if anything were to happen to it.
But we know that's already happened. There was somebody who posted a YouTube video a few years back where they were recording their kid's birthday party because they were having a party at some place that had TVs in the background. And because music was playing at the restaurant where they videoed, that got them flagged.
Yeah. No. It does, like, the rabbit hole goes down to that. It is nothing but extortion. And I was trying to, like, make a point of, like, of making it more and more granularized as we go down, of these companies just throwing, you know, shotgun blast copyrights out.
Well,
and saying, like, oh, hey, we own this video, we own this content. It gets taken down. Well, anyone tries to view it between the time they file their copyright infringement and the time it gets repealed, they're getting all that revenue.
Yeah.
So they're taking revenue from any kind of small YouTuber or anything like that. And it doesn't matter whether or not it's that person's, like, original music. Like, hey, I'm John Smith. I wrote this song. Here's me playing it for the first time ever on guitar. And Sony, you know, Media Corporation.
That's happened too.
Like, that's our shit. And it's like, no. No, it is not, but they're reaping all the benefit of any kind of, you know, monetary gain the original artist might get because they're a big corporation.
Well,
and YouTube does not flag them as a, you know, burden of proof resting upon the accuser. Like, okay, Sony Media, show me the link that matches up with whatever the fuck he's playing and what you're claiming. Because it's unattainable. Like, you cannot do that.
No, they
there's
can't,
no but one around that's going to make a company full of fucking drone workers, and I'm even looking at you, China and
Facebook,
India.
Does. Facebook has armies of people reviewing content now because the algorithms couldn't do it. They have entire data centers full of people who do nothing but answer these claims. Microsoft does too, actually. We've talked about that. But I kind of wonder, you remember several years ago there was that sealed settlement with Viacom? I'm wondering if this whole copyright bullshit of the accuser is always right is a result of that.
But there's a reason our court systems went away from that, because it's horse shit. That's how the Salem witch trials happened. Like, one teenage girl says X, And it's like, all right, well, prove that you're not, you weren't that.
Fuck you, bigot. Believe old women.
Oh, goddammit, Bobby. How dare you assume her gender?
Madman, you've been quiet. What do you think?
I think we pretty much covered this before, and it kind of sucks. But there's not a lot to do unless you're going to build a new YouTube. If you're playing in their sandbox, they get to make the rules.
Well, I mean, that's what DP View in the chat was saying, was that hopefully we'd see a market solution to this, which the market solution would be people moving off YouTube onto a service that's not quite as fucked up.
Every time one starts, though, YouTube flip their shit, call it alt-right, and it fucking PayPal blocks it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, we are falling, you know, I mean, an extreme example there, but we're falling into that thing where we're letting these corporations and or, you know, people dictate what gets uploaded and what doesn't, because you're taking a small community of, like, you know, artists or whoever, quote unquote, YouTube, because it's all about you posting content, was their original tagline. They're taking YouTube, and now they're fucking it over where it's like, hey, some guy said that you did something that he was responsible for. We're not going to check in on that because it takes too much effort. We're just going to give him all your money.
Well, I mean, hell, open up a private tab and go to YouTube. And let's see here. All of the trending videos. Well, let's see. That's a Katy Perry video, Cardi B video. So music videos. And then you've got Celebritards. Let's see. Here's a bunch of late night shit. Oh, look, here's a video of the commercials from the Super Bowl. I mean, come on. This isn't, you know, it's all corporate content. Now, if you go in with your own profile where you've been trying to view shit, that's different. There is a badly photoshopped Will Smith as the genie, apparently. What the fuck is that? I missed something. I don't understand that. Is that making fun
Will
of him?
Will Smith
for
is the genie now.
What?
Live action Aladdin. Will Smith is the genie.
Blue is the new
black.
Might
not be blue. That might not be Photoshop. He should be in blue face.
Well, it's weird looking. So I'm gonna close it. But anyways, DP View says that's the actual CGI. Mother of God. Anyways,
that's actually a really good, you know, everyday trial of your average user. Open up your browser, go to YouTube.com, like their homepage. Now, open up a private tab. Go to YouTube.com. Note the differences between the two.
Well, yeah, all the recommended shit was all corporate. I mean, all corporate.
Yeah.
And like, I was disappointed. There wasn't a 3D printing video in there.
It correlates between my private browsing and my actual browsing. There is no correlation between what I'm seeing right now. Like, all of it is, oh, hey, here's a bunch of their paid channels and celebrities doing bullshit versus. Yeah. I mean, a bunch of music channels is that I've been doing different music genres on my YouTube lately.
You know, I don't know why YouTube is still as big as it is. It's not like you get any money off AdSense anymore, unless you're like PewDiePie.
You don't have to be quite as big as PewDiePie. There are quite a bit of people still making money, especially if you're not going into anything that's anti-SJW.
Yeah, don't have an opinion on the internet. Dear God.
At least not against Ramen.
A lot of people, like makeup tutorials, are making shit tons of money. Video game tutorials are making money. So long as you're not giving the video game a bad review.
So how's your makeup how's your makeup tutorial channel doing, Madman? I'm just curious.
The video on how to make your cleavage look like cleavage is making all kinds of cash. Now, the plucking my balls hairs got restricted for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, fuck. Do you have any opinion you want to espouse on this?
No, I think you've covered it.
All right.
But I don't know if there's a way to really fix the copyright, because I can understand the company not wanting to waste its money going through this shit, so they're just dumping it off on the users to argue about. My problem when it comes to YouTube is not really what it's doing with copyright, because I think they're getting hosed in that a bit as well. Just the way the laws are set up, it's set up to favor the publishers because they're the ones that solicited for the laws. My problem with YouTube comes with it acting as a publisher. And I think it should start being treated as a publisher rather than a platform.
I think most of the social media companies should get that. I mean, they're ranking posts. They're choosing what to promote to the top. And it always seems to have a certain political bend to it. You know, whether you agree with that political bend or not, you can't deny it does. Of course, you may not notice it as much if you happen to agree with it, but, you know.
Yeah, I think they should be treated as publishers, and that would fix my only big problem with them.
Well, speaking of idiots, let's move on to the next article here. Man jailed after found with 3D printed gun and a lawmaker hit list. Okay.
Was it just the lower? Because that's not a gun. They say gun when they mean gun parts.
He had 3D printed the AR-15 lower.
That's not a gun. You can't shoot people with that.
Well, not just that. But you can buy all the other parts of the AR-15 without a background check. Although, if you go on Amazon and buy all the parts of the AR-15 except the lower, that might set off a flag somewhere. I don't know.
If you buy all the parts except the lower, you can fire it. You just need a zip tie or some shit.
Yeah, a zip tie and a fucking nail.
The lower's not the part that fires the bullet.
But that's the part with the serial number.
That said, it's not the dangerous part.
Okay, I've done this rant on decking before. 3D printed guns are stupid. I am not against guns. I own several and enjoy going to the range. And as everyone knows, I'm a big enthusiast for 3D printing. But if you are going to 3D print plastic gun parts that are going to be exposed to the mechanical forces of firing a bullet, you're a dumbass.
Mm-hmm. That's why I did the lower. It's not being exposed to the being fired by the bullet.
I may have had to give this speech a few times at work today, too, because of this fucking story. But, okay, I'm not even a proponent. I'm not even against people doing homemade guns. If you want to do a homemade gun, get a mill and a lathe and go nuts. By the way, those require a little bit of skill to use. Or, if you want to do a proper lower, you know.
No, they don't. Auto lathes exist, dude.
Yeah, they do.
But there's still some sort of skill involved in setting it up. You can't call Best Buy and be like, "Hey, Geek Squad, come set up my auto lathe."
I'm trying to make a zip gun.
Oh God, no! I'm not gonna make a zip gun. I'm gonna make an AR, like an auto lathe.
Or just go to Lowe's and get a couple of pieces of pipe, you know, and a nail, make a shotgun. Yeah.
But people just make homemade mortars out of that shit.
Yes,
they're talking about
Cody Wilson and the IRC there, but I mean,
no, it is. It's ridiculous. It's like this big waving fear mongering. They're gonna make 3D guns. Oh my God, we're all gonna die.
So what do you do if somebody has a machine shop?
Yeah,
if you want to make a gun,
it's the same bullshit argument that they're throwing out of like why drone pilots need to register with the FCC. It's like, these people are building model airplanes.
It's because of the fact that they've put software in there to
take out the retard and auto-level it. If you fuck up and just let go of the controller, does not automatically make it a hazard more than any other model airplane.
If you want to learn to make your own garage guns, cool. Use a proper material for it. If you happen to have a laser sintering 3D printer that'll print metal, go for it. I'm sure I've got a copy of the Liberator somewhere because it got posted several times in the early days. But it's like, yeah, I think I was going to print it as a model and just never put a firing pin in it. Because it's not, okay, you might get lucky and it might fire, but more than likely it's a hand grenade with a short fuse.
And you're holding onto it.
Yeah. So I don't.
Next to your face.
Believe me, I'm not anti-gun. I go to the range. It's worth learning how to do. It's worth doing. It's just don't make guns out of plastic that has layer lines in it. So, okay, For anybody who doesn't know how 3D printers work, they print plastic parts a layer at a time. Those layers are at different temperatures when they go down, so they don't quite bond as well as, say, an injection molded part. So a 3D printer part has a natural weakness on those layer lines. If you're ever not sure about that, pick up a 3D printed model that you don't particularly care about and flex it along those layer lines and see what happens. It's going to crack.
Kaboom, Rico. Kaboom.
I'm not sure I'm going to trust a plastic gun, even if it's injection molded.
So,
like, even a port of the Armalite 15 where it's, this doesn't move or anything like that, it can literally be a chunk of aluminum that I take a Dremel to and route out a hole for the trigger group and magazine. I didn't need anything to make this portion of the gun that doesn't really move or do anything. It just houses the parts they already have.
Yeah, so my point being, all this fear-mongering over 3D printed guns is dumb because it's literally one of the worst ways to home build a gun. You would probably have better luck, like Vox just said, with a Dremel and some scrap aluminum. Because it's, and believe me, I'm a proponent of 3D printing. I think it's a great and wonderful thing. 3D printed plastics that you're going to get off these cheap Chinese printers are not capable of withstanding the mechanical forces of a bullet.
Nope.
It's just the physics of the it's material science. That's all it is. I mean, come on. So, anyways, let's see here. A Dallas man has been sentenced to 8 years in prison after he was found with a partially 3D printed rifle. And a hit list of U.S. lawmakers. Eric McInnes was prohibited from possessing firearms for 2 years after he attacked his girlfriend in 2015. So he's a retard. McInnes attempted to buy a gun in 2016 but failed the background check. Yeah, he checked, "Are you a fugitive from justice?" Why, yes. Yes, I am. So instead, he purchased the gun parts and a 3D printer to assemble his own weapon. He was arrested in 2017 after police heard him fire shots in the woods. How bad do you have to be at this to get caught just firing a gun in the woods?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
What kind of shitty neighbors do you have to have? I heard a loud noise out in the trees. It might be a gunman.
I think he may have been shooting at the deer. Man, I mean, yeah. Come on.
The deer have ARs. They're going to kill everybody. Peter was right.
This dude gets arrested firing guns in the woods. I fired guns in the city and no one shows up.
Right.
McInnes, now 43, has little more than a month left on his 2-year domestic abuse firearm ban when police arrested him in a partially printed AR-15 rifle near Dallas, Texas, the U.S. Attorney's Office said in a statement on Wednesday. When police ordered
That in and of itself is very misleading. Like, partially printed.
It's the lower. You can go on Thingiverse and get it. Like, not even Thingiverse sees fit to take this part down because it's... Anyways, when police ordered him to... this sounds like 6-week cycle shit. When police ordered him to surrender, McInnes tried to say he was a member of the CIA.
Jesus Christ.
Officers suspected...
MKUltra, no, you're doing it wrong.
Officers inspected McInnes' backpack and discovered a hit list titled 9/11/2001 List of American Terrorists. That included names of both Democratic and Republican federal lawmakers. A federal jury.
That's what it got in my fan fiction.
A federal jury convicted McInnes on charges of possessing an unregistered short-barreled rifle and unlawfully possessing ammunition under a protective order last June. The 3D printed portion of McInnes' weapon was not illegal, but by owning a firearm, he was in violation of the judge's order. Prosecutors at Wednesday's sentencing also noted that an analysis of McInnes' electronic devices showed he had a strong interest in James Hodgson, who in 2017 shot and wounded Republican Representative Steve Scalise and others during a baseball game. In a jailhouse phone call, McInnes admitted to family member that he 3D printed the mechanisms required to fire the gun. "I didn't buy a gun, I built the gun," he said. I don't know why I'm assuming that accent, but I am. When he when he realized he couldn't legally purchase a firearm, Eric McGinnis circumvented our gun laws by 3D printing his weapon, eliminating the need.
Fuck you, we'll do it live.
Eliminating the need for a background check. Said U.S. Attorney Eric Neely Cox, or Aaron Neely Cox. Miss Neely Cox.
Wait. What was his name again?
Her name, Aaron Neely Cox.
Neely Cox.
Go nuts.
Feeling for Cox. Sorry.
Miss Neely Cox said McInnes' case should send a message to prohibited persons contemplating acquiring guns by any method.
Alcohol. But he didn't get a gun. That's why I keep saying that.
It's a chunk of plastic and parts. Alcohol, Tobacco and Firearms Bureau Special Agent Jeffrey Boschek also noted on Wednesday controls to determine if an individual is prohibited from purchasing firearms and ammunition worked. Well, that's true, because the first time he tried to buy the gun, the background check said no, he's not allowed to buy a gun. He beats his girlfriend. Mr. Boschek instead cited the evolving technology allowed McGinnis to manufacture an untraceable firearm with apparent ease and anonymity. Bullshit, it was untraceable. Take that AR-15 he built through a metal detector, see what happens. The only part of it that was 3D printed was the lower. Fuck.
Ow. Yeah, there's no way in hell you could print something out of a plastic extruding 3D printer that would be an entire gun.
Well, I mean, there is the Liberator pistol, but like I said, that thing's kind of a crapshoot, whether or not it's going to shoot, blow up in your hand, or just look at you funny.
Which, a.k.a., is a Saturday Night Special that you can give from Crazy Billy Bob that lives in a van down by the river.
Yeah, but nobody likes bothering the zombie of Chris Farley. So, and I love this captioned picture they have here. They show somebody sitting here assembling, looks like an extruder mechanisms. And the caption is, a man works on a 3D gun printing machine.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, okay.
Wait, you have that thing. That. A man does a thing.
He's building 3D printer parts. You could look at it and see, it's two extruders bolted onto a metal frame. So either it's the X-axis of an Ender 3, but not likely from looking at the picture because it's American working on that, and Ender 3 is a Chinese company. So I'd say it's probably an extruder. I mean, he's got a shelf full of the parts behind him. It's a 3D printer kit. 3D gun printing machine. That's the wrong sound effect. Advances in 3D printing technology have made it feasible to create gun parts using a simple setup, a mill or plastic printer hooked up to a computer. These guns have no serial number and are illegal to buy or sell, but making one is still legal. You fools! How could you let people do this? Because, you know, I absolutely hate the gun fear. Just the concept of, oh my god, he's got a gun! Was he brandishing it? Is he flinging it around? No. Well, where is it? Well, it's in a holster behind his jacket. Who the fuck cares? Come
settle
on.
Down, Davis.
But yeah, I mean this hype about 3D printed guns.
Yeah, I mean,
at least
they literally
delayed so they could actually make a real gun.
Yeah,
like it does. It boils down to like whatever media outlet that is pushing this forward.
Well, like, this is the BBC.
All right, like and subscribe. You know, 15 guys that are making handmade guns that you'll never trace and they're going to murder your family.
Because the serial number that can be filed off is so traceable. Come on.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a file and a legally purchased gun that somebody else bought. I mean, come on. Or half the time, the serial number is on a plate that's riveted on. All you need is a Dremel to take it off. In the U.S., most gun parts have little regulation and are not individually considered as firearms. These parts can be shipped or sold without a federal firearms license. The lower receiver, the part that essentially holds the gun together, and is part the part McInnes admitted to printing, is considered a firearm under U.S. law, but only if it's complete. An 80% complete lower requires minimal effort to mill into a finished lower, but it is not considered a firearm. The finished lower can be tailored to build different guns, including AR-15s, full-size rifles, or pistols. AR-15 pistols are still considered rifles for the most part. That's why you see people doing shit like chin stocks. So, anyways, in the U.S., in August, a U.S. federal judge in Seattle temporarily blocked the release of software blueprints for 3D printed fully working weapons. Yeah, that fully working weapon is the one that we were talking about. It's like it's a crapshoot whether the thing's going to work or not, because it's based on a design from World War II in France that anybody could assemble from scrap metal.
But they're using the internet, and guns are scary.
Are pipe guns still legit? Well, they'll still shoot. I mean, if you ever get caught with a four-wind shotgun, you'll probably get arrested and all kinds of questioning, but I mean, all you got to do is say, no, officer, I'm making a YouTube video. I'm just showing how hard it is. And, you know, nothing will, you know.
No, Chris Hansen, I swear, I was making a documentary. Oh, brutal.
He's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Are you, Madman? Anything on this?
No, I think it's been covered.
Just another case of stupid being stupid.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Anybody who's smart enough to figure out how to use a lathe and a mill to put together their own guns in the backyard is probably not dumb enough to start going after people he thinks are responsible for a 9/11 conspiracy. Usually when somebody's that criminal, they're not smart enough. Or if they're smart enough to work a lathe and a mill, they realize they can make a shit ton of money in a machine shop, and they don't bother going through with the criminal act. Dude, welders and machinists make bank nowadays.
Well, the machinists have almost always made bank.
The letter A and MOPS.
Yeah.
Dude, any trade like that, fitter and turner, Boilermaker. Dude, there are ancient trades that no one does anymore.
Fortran coder.
It takes 20 years to become a master.
Oh, and I keep thinking one of these days I'm going to get a lathe and a mill just for fun.
Yeah, but dude, it's a lifetime of dedication.
You could do a lot of stuff just picking it up. My dad showed me a few things. He was a machinist.
So,
I couldn't do the stuff he does, but you can do some cool stuff with him.
I've got some family whose significant other was out of a job but knew people who could weld, and it's like, get them to teach him. What are you talking about? But he didn't want to do it. So, yeah. Anyways.
Dude, what they don't tell you about that sort of job is your body life expectancy may not reach retirement age.
Some of it's hard. Some of that work is pretty hard physical labor.
Exactly.
Especially and welders who have to get into really weird positions.
Yeah, a trade, man. Not everybody makes it to the end of their... It's not sometimes it can't be a lifetime vocation. Because your body just won't handle it.
Well, believe me, the guy who we're talking about, it would have been a really good option for him.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
I would murder every one of you faggots for a fucking chance to work with my hands again.
What do you do every Tuesday night?
Good thing you live in Australia and we have the guns.
Yeah. Exactly.
Welders for shrimp boats or anything that hits the ocean, those guys make bank. It's shit when they're working, but they only work pretty much 15 minutes out of the hour.
But they have to be multi-skilled.
Yeah.
You don't get on a ship with one trade. You have to have at least six trades under your belt.
The ones I know weren't even on the ships they were building them.
Oh, they're just shipyard workers? Yeah.
In the shipyard, it gets so hot if you're actually in the hull of the ship welding it together.
Yeah.
That in the summer, they only keep you in there for 15 minutes or you could die of heat stroke.
It's basically an oven. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, you're roasting yourself. So they rotate you out. You're in there for 15 minutes, and you spend about 45 minutes to an hour cooling down enough to go back in there for your 15 minutes.
Well, there were several automotive plants that they were doing that where they'd rotate you out. I don't think it was quite the 15-minute, 45-minute break. I think it was more like the other way around. But, like, you know, when, in between your time on the welds, you'd go back into a certain break room, and they had soaks for your hands and all kinds of stuff. So, I guess if you get on with the right company, it's probably not quite so bad. But I'm sure you're right that a lot of this stuff is pretty hardcore physical labor. So
that summer, yeah. In the winter, it's not that bad because, you know, there's a heat sink outside called snow.
Yeah. Well, shoot, in the winter, you probably want to be in there depending on what part, especially on the coast. I mean, so let's move on. Next article. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just going to add to, like, I think that's a caveat that everybody should throw down is, like, when they get, well, if you can't do that, just get a trade. No, it's a fucking big decision to break your body to make money.
It depends on the trade. Not all trades will kill you. An electrician?
Old
electrician.
I know two dead electricians.
You might fry yourself, but you're not going to cripple your back. You might touch the wrong wire, sit down, and have your heart stop while you're smoking a cigarette. So, I mean, you know. Anyways. Next article is from CNBC.com. Pleasant way to stop that one, right? Anyways. Jack Dorsey admits a link between Twitter activity and physical danger to people. Hey, it's a segue.
Yeah, it's called Antifa. They fucking follow your ass and murder you. Don't tweet where you are if you're hated.
Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey said Tuesday that he recognized there's a link between activity on his social network and real-life danger to people. The tech executive made his comments while discussing Twitter's efforts to reduce harassment on the service and promote healthy conversation during an interview conducted on Twitter with Recode's Carrot. Is it really an interview if you're messaging back and forth on Twitter? I mean, wouldn't that just be correspondence?
Normie toilet time, isn't it?
I was going to say, I may have remoted in and fixed servers from the toilet before on my phone, so I don't know that I have room to talk. During the conversation, Dorsey, I've done Active Directory group policy while driving at 90 miles an hour across state lines. So,
wiggling about a half ounce of black tar heroin.
With a quick heel toe break.
Yeah, brace for the G's in the fast heel toe action as you prepare to make a 90 degree turn speed.
No, I'm pretty sure my car would roll if you tried to do that. Just saying.
Need more break.
When Recode's Kara Swisher during the conversation, Dorsey said Twitter's top priority is focusing on users' physical safety. Yeah, when you have to worry about people's physical safety, you may have fucked up your social network. Just saying. Dorsey
it's
said.
It's just a little rape.
I don't understand everybody on their phone saying such mean things to each other. Anyways, Dorsey said the company is putting in place mechanisms that will reduce the probability of Twitter users experiencing offline physical harm as a result of what others see on the service.
We don't want to get sued by these snowflakes, so here's a political stance rollout that may or may not actually work.
Dorsey listed coordinated harassment campaigns and doxing, which is the online publication of one's private identifiable information, as examples of physical dangers Twitter is working to reduce. What do you call it when Twitter's tracking your fucking GPS location when you post? Because we had Meffitt's right to work one time by following his Twitter account for fun. On decking, actually. I remember talking about that tool on decking, testing it on Meffitt because I knew he had an active Twitter account, and then immediately stopped talking when I realized, oh, that's where he lives.
Womp, womp.
Wow, Psychros remembered what it was called. That was a long time ago. I don't remember Meffitt's Twitter handle, though, because I don't think it was Meffitt. I think it had something else on it. Anyways, just saying that so I don't get in trouble in case somebody goes and figure it out. That was a long time ago. Hopefully he's moved since then. Anyways,
moving on.
Whoops, did I just dox somebody by accident?
just accidentally the internet.
Whoops. Shit. Anyways, it's Twitter's from Drudis. So do you see the link between what you do and real life danger to people? Can you say that explicitly? Swisser asked in a tweet. I see the link. That's why we need to put physical safety above all else. That's what we're fighting to, that's what we're figuring out how to do now. We don't have all the answers yet. That's just the focus. I think it clarifies a lot of the work we need to do. Not all of it, of course, Dorsey responded. API has changed. Oh, the tool hasn't worked in a while. I don't know. I haven't gone back to check to see if Creepy still works. I loved the tool, though. It was hilarious. It was named Creepy, and you'd run it, and you'd get a map of somebody's activity. It's just like, fuck. It's like, I mean, of course, that's back when Please Rob Me was still a website, so. Oh, Iron Angel's alive. Woohoo. Hey, man. So, anyways. Swisher asked if Twitter's lack of diversity was the cause for why the company has been slow to build the features to protect users against harassment, to which Dorsey responds, that was likely a reason.
Are you sure you don't need more Wyman on the staff?
Well, they've got a screenshot. You know, so the actual screenshot here is Kara Swisher saying, I grade you an F on all this, and that's being kind. I'm trying not to be a jackass, but it's been a very slow roll for all of you in tech to pay attention to this. Why do you think that is? Is it because many of the people who made Twitter never felt unsafe? And Jack said, likely a reason. I'm certain the lack of diversity didn't help with the empathy of what people experience on Twitter every day, especially women. Oh, just, you know what? Get off the internet. Turn it off. Go outside. Throw the laptop in a river. RU probably has the right attitude with just not having a phone. Now, if only my livelihood wasn't tied to the internet. Fuck.
Yeah.
At least my livelihood is protecting people from the internet. So I can, you know, kind of claim Batman there, maybe. A little bit. No, maybe not.
I'll guess.
I mean, you know, people bitch at me all the time for websites being blocked on the firewall. So, you know. Yeah, I like Psychrosis' response. People are becoming unsafe after volunteering all sorts of info and then blaming others for it. Yeah, you've got a point.
Dude, how does having
a Twitter make you
unsafe?
Because I told you where I live and that I wasn't going to be in town for the month doesn't mean you had to break into my house.
Their own stupidity.
Yes. So, every once in a while I get inklings of setting up a Twitter account just to see what's going on there. And then I'm reminded not to. Of course, every time I talk to RU about doing anything online, he's like, yeah, don't. What? No, you were after me about the streaming thing.
Yeah, I'm still interested in that. Yeah. And I'm just stepping back a bit and watching what's happening, trying to figure out who's paying for this place. That's a little sneaky suspicion going on.
Oh, it's probably capital investment funds, so when they run out of money and go bankrupt, it'll just disappear one day overnight, sort of like Telltale Games did. So
maybe.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Next story, or did anybody have anything else on that?
Nothing.
Next article is from Bloomberg. Your smart light can tell Amazon and Google when you go to bed.
Dun, dun,
fuck sake.
Why do they need a smart lamp?
As Amazon Inc. and Google work to place their smart speakers at the center of the internet-controlled home, internet-connected home, both technology giants are expanding the amount of data they gather about customers who use their voice software to control other gadgets. For several years, Amazon and Google have collected data every time somebody used a smart speaker to turn on a light or lock a door. Now they're asking smart home gadget makers such as Logitech and Hunter Fan Co. to send continuous stream of information. In other words, after you connect a light fixture with Alexa, Amazon wants to know every time the light is turned on or off, regardless of whether you asked Alexa to toggle the switch. Televisions must report the channel they're set to. Smart locks must keep the company appraised of whether or not the front door bolt is engaged. So, you know, the delivery people wow. can just come in inside and drop off your stuff and make off with the TV. But that's okay, because they know at least what channel you had the TV set to before they stole it.
God, he left it on hardcore lesbian bang, gang bang 27.
Oh, dude,
poor UPS
you know,
driver has only seen up to level up to 20. He's gonna get spoilers.
I like Psychrosis joke. Joke's on them. I sleep with the light on.
Dude, when you look at it, their plan for putting chips in everything and everything to be connected. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna Lozinski this shit up. I'm going out in the middle of the forest. You can go suck my fucking dick. You think you can put a chip in my clothing?
Good old
or
Professor
in my shoes.
Ted.
You know? Hey, I just got you this new gift shirt. You know, fuck it. What are you doing? What are you putting in the microwave? What the fuck? Yeah, now it works. You know, fuck that.
So
they put chips in clothing.
If you want a fun example of just how crazy it can get with microcontrollers, look up a DIY Arduino add-on called an ESP-01. These things are little single board connectors. They're meant to hook up to an Arduino for providing Wi-Fi and stuff like that. But it's an ESP8266 chip. These things are, it's sort of like when I put a network card on my Commodore 64. You figure out pretty quickly the network card has more processing power than the CPU you have it attached to. Oh, and these things are like about the size of your thumbnail. So if you want to talk about chips being embedded in shit, these little things are an example of Wi-Fi enabled chips.
Yeah.
That are tiny. That the freaking power conditioner on the chip is bigger than the processor. So anyways. Yeah, so you're not wrong. They can literally put chips in everything. That's one of the reasons they're putting That's one of the reasons they're pushing to IPv6. They want to give everything a unique address, and they're out of addresses on IPv4. So, now back to the article. Go ahead.
Microwave your clues, kids.
I'll chip in on this. Like, the whole paranoia of, like, oh my god, your Nest knows when you're home. Well, I mean, if anyone really wanted to track when you're home and away, even if you turn off the GPS on your cell phone, the triangulation of cell towers that you're connected to, they already know where you are. They can pull the freaking smart meter data of, oh, look, the power consumption of this house at this address jumps up between, you know, 4 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, a.k.a. someone is now in the house. They can get the median of that. Same thing for in the morning, like, oh, power consumption drops at around, like, 7:45 because they're leaving the house. Like, all this paranoia of, like, oh, my God, my smart meter's watching me and recording everything I do, and if it's on or if it's off, and oh, my God. I think it's a lot of like, over-the-top paranoia where these people are freaking out about shit that the company's probably collecting for the whole, hey, was this light on or off when their house burned down? Nope. We were not responsible for that. That lamp was off, sir.
DPV just said in the IRC, yep, good time to be an InfoSec. And I'm like, so I responded to him, yeah, job security for me. He said the same here, so.
Yeah.
I just got senior putting my job title a few months ago. How you doing? So.
Oh, senior, yes.
Yeah, I think they were calling me old. Damn it. probably should shave the beard if they're calling me old, huh?
Eh, fuck them, they're just jealous because they're 20 years old and they can't grow facial hair.
I do it by accident. Like, I got sick, didn't shave for a week. I'm like, eh, fuck it, I'll just keep it. So
we joke about some of the help desk now at our place where it's like, in order to be advanced further off of your, like, tier one position, you have to be able to grow facial hair.
Oh, fuck. I got a story for you offline because it's damned hilarious. But a guy at work was, well, I don't want to say, let's just say,
all right, well,
I don't want to say too much because I don't know who listens.
We'll take it offline.
We'll take it offline. God damn it, now I feel like I'm on a WebEx. When did things go so corporate? The information may seem mundane.
Please enter your passcode.
Back to fuck you. welcome to Zoom. I swear to God, I get primed by that recording on the Zoom meetings because it's in such a fucking low quality versus the rate. Zoom actually has better calls than WebEx, but because their little welcome message is recorded at like 8-bit on, you know, a Commodore 64 or whatever the fuck with the worst microphone from across the room, I assume the rest of the call is going to sound like shit. So I actually get primed.
So many times I've been on a WebEx or a Zoom call where like someone's not muted their mic, and I've wanted to scream out, "Mic heavy!"
I almost did one time. I was able to correct myself and say "Bill" instead, but I mean it was close. And then he said, "What do you mean, Mike? What? Who's Mike? No, your microphone. Mute it. You're on speakerphone, and we hear everything we're saying back through it." Back to the article. this information may seem mundane compared with smartphone geolocation software that follows you around, or the trove of personal data Facebook Inc. vacuums up based on your activity. I doubt they're using an actual vacuum, just saying.
Just Mark Zuckerberg trying to like blow job the data right out of you.
The more data about you I collect, the more human I understand. but even gadgets as simple as light bulbs could enable tech companies to fill in blanks about their customers and use the data for marketing purposes.
Dun, my God. Dun, dun.
Okay, no word of a lie. I was in the grocery store the other day, right? And somebody behind me sat down and started using one of those blood pressure cuffs. And while it was taking his blood pressure, it started playing an ad for him.
Wow.
Like, my God, they don't waste any time finding anywhere they can jam an ad in your fucking face.
Well, it's like you go to the gas pump anymore.
Yeah, those have screens on them so they can play the ads.
Yeah.
And pretty soon you're going to be arrested for not watching ads. I mean, it's just like, fuck. Yeah.
You violated your listener's license by not watching this ad.
I see you're not maintaining a balance on your credit cards. Would you like to talk about it, or do you want to go straight to prison?
Prison.
I don't
want to
pay interest.
Yeah. Having already amassed digital record of your activity in public spaces, critics say tech companies are now bent on establishing a beachhead in the home. You can learn the behaviors of a household based on the patterns, says Brad Russell, who tracks smart home products for researcher Parks Associates, Inc.
How come when Mark Zuckerberg does it, it's technology? But when I do it, it's called stalking as a pervert.
You're less creepy than Mark Zuckerberg, so the government's less afraid of you.
Wow. less creepy. I thought you said more creepy, and it was like, that's a fucking... Damn! Like,
see, there you are with priming again. Just because I was giving RU shit at the beginning of the show, which actually it wasn't even much. It was just playing the soundboard.
Brought to you by. I mean, just because I drank the entire bottle of scotch during the show does not mean that I'm.
I quit. I have this really fancy decanter I bought to put whiskey in. I quit keeping it next to the computer because it evaporated. Yeah, some device makers are pushing back, saying automated device updates don't give users enough control over what data they share or how it can be used. Public guidelines published by Amazon and Google don't appear to set limits on what the companies can do with the information they glean about people, how people use appliances. Amazon and Google say they collect the data to make it easier for people to manage their home electronics. Automatic status updates reduce the time it takes to process voice commands and let smart home. Sorry about that. Told you I wasn't completely better. I hit the cough button that time at least. Greater awareness of what's going on also lets them proactively suggest helpful uses for their voice assistants and develop new ones. Okay. Anyone who wants one of these Google Voice or Siri or Alexa things on their home, you kind of deserve what you get. if you have one for any reason, open it up, solder in a physical fucking switch on the power supply so you can turn it off before you have any meaningful conversations.
Yeah, I like walking into people's houses and be like, hey, Alexa.
Alexa, order
text mom. I fucked the dog. LOL. Send, okay?
Alexa, order the biggest, blackest dildo. Alexa, express shipping.
I walked into someone's house and was like, Alexa, order 50 pounds of dog food from Amazon. Okay, send. And she's like, placing order. And they're like, no! No! Oh my God.
Nice. Alexa, order a pallet of toilet paper.
Alexa, play Baby Shark.
God damn
fuck
you,
madman.
Settle down there, Satan.
We were just doing harmless pranks. Then you had to go and bring that shit up.
It's a prank, bro.
Smart speakers are among the fastest growing category of consumer electronics, led by Amazon Echoes and Google's home devices. That's pushed the companies and their Alexa and assistant software deeper into the debates about the trade-off between useful services and harvesting of personal data. Both have had public pratfalls around privacy of voice commands, either recording private messages in an error or sending them to others, which we talked about. The commercial success of voice assistants has bolstered dozens of companies working to build interest in internet-enabled televisions.
Literally dozens.
Yeah, literally dozens. Dozens. Kitchen appliances and other devices. Because, you know, I really need the refrigerator to tell me when I'm out of milk. Opening the thing up and going, oh, the milk carton's empty. Doesn't tell me that.
There are people that are NPC level enough that, yes, that is the thing they need.
The sad thing is you're probably not wrong. Many people first start tinkering with connected appliances after buying a smart speaker. Surveys show about a quarter of U.S. smart speaker owners regularly use them to control something else. A percentage of analysts expect to rise. So, actually...
You're saying smart speakers are the gateway drug.
You know, true story time. I was in a taxi about 4 months ago on a trip. And... the dude was running the whole thing off of a tablet, you know, that he had with his taxi company. And instead of bothering with radios or anything like that, like they used to do, they were actually basically in a custom VoIP application so that dispatch could, it was basically a customized TeamSpeak, for lack of a better way to put it. But it was through their app. They were running on the tablet. But the guy had one of those Alexa little ones. He actually had it in the cup holder, and that's what he was using to control his music. So he would occasionally just say, Alexa, play Pandora, whatever, because he asked one of the people in the cab with me what they wanted to listen to, and they told him. So he just set it out, Alexa, do this. And you have no idea how much my tongue was bleeding from me trying not to order a pallet of toilet paper. Because it's like, fuck. I mean, this guy actually had it in the fucking car.
Yep. And as benign as everyone thinks it is, just like, all right, well, here you go.
And by the way, for anybody wondering why I use the pallet of toilet paper as a joke, it's because if I accidentally order a pallet of toilet paper, it's not like you're not going to eventually use it.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's like
people I told it to order like 50 pounds of dog food, they have a dog.
Yeah, so it's like you know. It'd be kind of a dick move to do that to somebody who only had, say, a cat or a gerbil.
Just with their fetish. Like, don't kink shame them. Gerbil.
Alexa, what's your internet browsing history?
Oh, God.
Alexa, open the last porn website.
Alexa, display browse history. I'd like to confess to the murder.
Actually, that's going to be a thing. Why is there Alexa arresting somebody? Alexa, clear history! That'll be uncommon.
There's already that, cops Dave. Trying to get search warrants for Alexa history.
That's true, they have.
I may or may not... I may or may not have a about that.
Offline.
Offline, yes. Strictly offline.
Booze is not your friend at this point. Do this offline.
Well, yes. No. Like, it's always going to be offline.
So, this next article is from Ars Technica. Researchers use Intel SGX to put malware beyond the reach of antivirus software. Researchers have found a way to run malicious code on systems with Intel processors in such a way that the malware cannot be analyzed or identified by antivirus software, using the processor's own features to protect the bad code.
Wow.
As part of masking malware in general, making malware harder in general to examine, bad actors could use this protection too, for example, to write ransomware applications that never disclose their encryption keys in readable memory, making it substantially harder to recover from attacks. The research performed at Graz University of Technology by Michael Schwartz, Samuel Weisner, and Daniel Gruss, one of the researchers behind last year's Spectre attack, used a feature that Intel introduced with its Skylake processors called SGX, or Software Guard Extensions. SGX enables programs to carve out enclaves where both the code and the data the code work with are protected to ensure they're encrypted in memory. To ensure their confidentiality, nothing else in the system can spy on them, and integrity, any tampering with the code or the data can be detected. The contents of the enclave are transparently encrypted every time they're written to RAM and decrypted upon being read. The processor governs access to the enclave memory. Any attempt to access the enclave memories from code outside the enclave is blocked, and decryption and encryption only occur for code within the enclave. So, I don't even need to read the rest of the article. Why the fuck is the operating system not managing? Oh, because Intel didn't tell Windows about it.
They didn't want to pay for their genuine Windows validation.
Yeah, that actually could be the case. DPView says, I believe antivirus software is snake oil. You're not wrong. Antivirus software is terrible, useless, often does nothing more than give you a warning, and you should still run it. As much as I hate saying that, I mean, granted, I only use the built-in Windows Defender thing anymore, but all antivirus sucks. It's terrible. But you, especially in any environment, you have to run it. It does enough work, especially with older code. You have to run it. I mean, I hate it. It's terrible. It's god-awful. But you don't get to turn it off.
I mean, it's like wearing the condom you get out of the truck stop bathroom when you're banging the hooker.
It's at not least the you got greatest, something.
But it might do enough to keep you safe.
So, also, you know, to continue the analogy, because I find it amusing, maybe you don't bang the hooker, or at least find a higher class hooker. One that charges more than $1.50 in an egg sandwich.
Well, look at you, Mr. Moneybags.
So, are they crap just because they only work on something that's already been identified as a virus?
Yeah, pretty much, Madman.
Well, not only that, there's another reason they're crap. But that's the big thing, is it has to be identified first as a bad actor. But it's simpler than that. Antivirus software has been around for a long time. And I can take known malware code, run it through an encoding process, say Shikata Genai, to use one that's a little bit older now. You know, you take a known malware, run it through Shikata Genai about 20 times, load it on a machine, load it up with any antivirus you want, throw it up to any online antivirus you want. They probably aren't going to detect it as malicious. Most antivirus, for anybody putting in any effort, is so easy to get around that, I mean, but that's when you're dealing with somebody actively trying to attack a network. What it blocks is all the automated bullshit. And there is so much automated bullshit out there that it's worth running. But there's also another problem. You see, you think about all the viruses that have been released that would run on a modern Windows operating system, right? It's a lot. Especially because Windows will run old code. So on a modern 64-bit version of Windows 10, that's basically everything from 32-bit XP and up. There's some system libraries that don't really exist anymore. There's some, Yeah, that dynamic analysis usually gets turned off real quick because it falls positive so fast it's not even funny. It's not as bad as it used to be, but it's still pretty bad. But anyways, you think about all of those virus definitions from, say, XP32-bit and up, right? Or maybe even be generous and say Windows 2000 and up. Or, I mean, yeah, anything from the 16-bit code base is probably isn't going to run. Any of the XP stuff that's targeting specific system libraries probably won't run. But anything that just uses, you know, just lives in Windows, that might run. A lot of viruses are written against layers on top of the operating system, things like Java, or if you're a web server, PHP. So those are going to run regardless of operating system. But all of those definitions, if you loaded them into memory, even on a decent rig, you wouldn't be able to operate. There's not enough RAM in the average desktop, even a high-end workstation, to run every definition, every virus definition that has come out that could reasonably be considered to run on a modern operating system. So what antivirus companies are doing is they're picking and choosing their definitions that they run as their current definition set based on what they see on the internet. You know, Symantec has a huge operation of just listening posts. Most antiviruses will get telemetry back from their users. That's why most antiviruses are pushing to cloud management, so they can try to manage what's going on and try to keep smaller signature sets. Because what's always the biggest complaint about antivirus? It slows your system down. Well, you know, virus definition sets aren't getting smaller. And Windows isn't like Mac. They don't invalidate all the programs every couple operating systems. So, you know, that's actually one of the big selling points of Windows is you can run the old software on it, run old games and shit. So they're arguing with me in the IRC right now. But, any way you slice it, antivirus is kind of a crapshoot whether it's going to do anything for you or not. The much, much better thing is to, you know, if you're doing anything stupid, wrap it up in a virtual machine so that you can just delete it. Or, you know, even better, maybe don't go to websites and don't run software from solutions you don't trust. I know that's hard, but, you know, if you have a computer that you do important shit with, like your finances, don't use that computer to go check out porn websites. Just saying. You know, you can get Chromebooks and shit like that for $100 on eBay nowadays for a decent one. So if you want to do stupid shit, look at websites that are traditionally dirty, porn or whatever. Or just even web browsing. Really.
Religious websites.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some of those.
Biggest avenue attack right there.
Or, you know, maybe you just don't feel like running Adblock and NoScript because you get a lot of shit just through advertisements. And, you know, we were harping on ads earlier, but fuck, even if you don't have problems with advertisements, so many of those. I mean, hell, what was the website? Oh, shoot. It was one of the ones that went behind an Adblock wall. Forbes. The first week they did the whole, if you're running an Adblock, you can't go to our website, they were running a malware ad. So, yeah. I mean, and we talked about it on Decking. I remember laughing.
At least disable Adblock.
Yep.
Yeah, as soon as we stop becoming a vector for infection, maybe.
Yeah, I actually run a Pi-hole now. Do you know what a pain in the ass it is to turn off Adblock for a website? It's not worth the trouble most of the time. So, let's see what all they were saying in here. All these attacks are usually just for cyber warfare anymore, phishing or plain old dictionary attacks still like, yeah, your social engineering attacks will get you into a lot. You know, your users just giving up passwords. Like, well, this email came in and said if I didn't click on this link and log in with my username and password, you'd close my email account. Well, why would a website in China close your email account? I don't know, but that's what it said. This website said I had to call this number or I was going to get charged with kiddie porn. I didn't look at porn websites, but it said I was going to get charged. I couldn't take that
wants to look at naked pictures of cats? They don't wear clothes anyway.
I should stop quoting actual stories from work. Anyways, let's see. Ignoring DOS, most people just use a laptop for everything. That's true. Porn websites.
Dude, we need to register kittyporn.com and then just have it all about cats.
Pornhub is trying to become an actual competitor. Yeah, that's true. They were pushing it for a little while.
I don't know if they were pushing it, but people were going to
PDFs equals keyloggers.
Fucking things.
That's truer than you know, DPView. He just says PDFs equal keyloggers. For the longest
time. Virus.pdf.exe.
Yeah. Well, now for the longest time, the way most websites did drive-by malware is they would actually embed a malformed PDF. So if you were watching Task Manager at the right time, or if you, you know, artificially slowed the virtual machine down enough to where you would actually see it, which is what I usually did when I was doing malware research, is I just artificially limited the execution time of the VM. Yeah, that's a little bit easier to do when you're using QMU, because you have a little bit more control over what the VM is doing. But anyways, you would actually see on some of these websites, you know, the Adobe Reader pop up and go away because it would crash so fast. But on a modern system, you'd never see it because it crashed before you ever actually saw the GUI pop up. So, yeah. But PDFs.
That's why you run Google Ultron. Make sure your Adobe Reader's up to date.
Yeah.
Also, yes.
Let's move on to the last news story I have for today. I watched a video on this earlier. And most of these articles are already out of date because the GitHub article is moving pretty quick. Raspberry Pi is finally ready for the full version of Windows 10. A new installer lets you put Windows 10 on ARM, including the Pi. It's made by the same people who got Windows 10 on ARM onto the Lumia 950 and 950 XL headset. You can find the GitHub page. I think I got a link to it. In which developer Jose Manuel Nitro Sanchez... My God, this game, this guy has more names than AOC. Called the tool super easy to use and no hassle. It requires a Raspberry Pi 3 Model B or B+, a micro SD card. He recommends one with an A1 rating. And a Windows 10 ARM 64 image, which is linked to on the page where you can download instructions. The installer needs a set of binaries, the core package to run. Nitio Sanchez is quick to point out that these binaries are not his and are bundled and just offered for convenience to make your life easier since the tool is focused on simplicity.
So he says to the police, that's not mine.
Yeah. Well, given that name, I imagine he says, I mow the lawn. I don't know about computer.
No, senor. No.
That's probably racist.
Eh, probably.
Anyways.
Have you met this channel?
No.
Yeah. Bullshit.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's an excuse to get out of answering to the cops. I know people do this. I mean, as a Vietnamese gentleman, look at a customer.
No speaking English.
I'm paler than cash for the ghost. No habla inglés, señor.
Previously, until you buy him a cigarette, then it's like, hey, man, what's up? did I say that? Shit.
Demonetized.
And this is why. This is the other problem with YouTube. I don't know when to stop talking. Previously, the only way to run Windows was by using Windows 10 IoT Core, but Windows 10 on ARM may be far more capable. We plan on giving this a try ourselves soon, blah, blah, blah. So, actually, Novatech Spirit did a video on this today, and it's already out of date. Pretty much the install guides I've seen on it, they don't have functioning Ethernet or Wi-Fi yet, but apparently they've already got beta drivers that will work. But it's kind of hit and miss, and the USB tends to go in and out, so it's still pretty hacky. But the other thing that Windows on ARM does is it will then emulate 32-bit Windows x86. So given a little bit more development time to get a little bit more stable, it's entirely feasible that you could load Windows 10 on a Raspberry Pi 3 and then run 32-bit Windows programs, so you'd mostly be looking at older legacy stuff, but even so, that's you potentially are looking at like running, you know, some lighter weight stuff, or like VoIP chat, video call stuff, older games on Raspis, $35 computer. Mean, shit, that's going to be useful when they get this just a little bit farther along. I mean, it's early stages, but Yeah, this is looking pretty good.
I mean, hell, like, that was, like, those are LAN party PCs. Like, they were old, you know, ghetto knockoffs we threw an image on.
Oh, sure.
Because they were, like, they were in a cube platform, you know, mini ATX, and it's, like, super portable. If you could throw that same shit on a Raspi and, like, host all your shit on a local server or something like that, that would feed it up.
Well, yeah,
that'd be amazing for a LAN party. Like, hey, you know, pull a little case out of my pocket, ready to go, like, fucking play Doom or whatever, Descent.
Oh, yeah, some of those older games classics. And stuff like that? Oh, yeah. Or not only that, but, you know, think about, like, Thin clients and stuff like that. You know, instead of buying a couple $100, you know, certified Citrix thing, you know, you just spin up the Windows 10 on this thing and run the Citrix, you know, just the software client on a Raspi. Yeah. I mean, shit.
The amount of places just run dummy clients in general, it's like, why would you not?
Yeah.
Like, why would I go and buy, like, a Dell Thin client, you know, 70 whatever the hell latest
those
version
things, those things actually get kind of expensive. If you're ordering several, the nicer Thin clients are like $400 or $500 a piece. Might as well start getting workstations
versus Raspi that's like, hey, I'm just here to serve up the fucking connection to Workhorse. Fuck it.
Yep.
Like, I think that'd be great for LAN parties. I mean, I remember hauling my giant-ass CRT monitor around.
Back in the day.
My tiny-ass beat-up, like, Volkswagen Rabbit.
Back in the day when we were really doing LAN parties, my Pentium 3 was built into a full AT tower case. So I had room in there for all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so, but did you go to Home Depot and buy, like, a drawer handle and rivet it into the top of it?
Garage door handle.
Oh, nice.
And a couple of...
Sorry, got a little fancier. He put an actual... we went to Home Depot and found, like, a nice kitchen drawer handle.
And a couple of garage hangers on the side to wrap all the wires around.
Nice.
So, yeah. Spray painted the whole thing a deep metallic blue. It looked awesome.
Fuck yeah.
So...
Anyways. Did anyone ever duct tape you to the ceiling?
No. No, I've been fat far too long for that to be a thing. There was not enough duct tape for that to happen. However, we may have duct taped people to roller chairs and then left them over train tracks. Anyways, not on the train tracks, over the train tracks. They were fine.
Also in a few different stairwells, I believe.
Well, yeah, that's when the roller chair got stuck on the stairwell and everybody got tired of lifting their ass. Anyways, speaking of being racist.
Oh, hello!
So, I got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is a set of network security PowerShell scripts that this guy's put on his GitHub page. They're fairly recent, only a couple of days old. The only one of these that I looked at and thought was really useful, but they could be used as templates for your own stuff, because one of them is like remote deployment files. That's probably pretty specific to this guy's environment, right? Because it's looking for deployment files left over with passwords in them. So if you figure out where this guy works, you know, you can look at his remote deployment files deletion script and figure out what scripts you want to look at to get the passwords to join machines to the main and whatever. But the second one, printer auth report. Find network printers that don't require authentication to the web admin interface. That's a useful script. He's got another one on there about remote BitLocker encryption. Again, these probably requires like DA or something like from the Windows boxes. But the printer scanner, that's a useful script. So I think that's definitely worth your time checking out, especially if you're, you know, running your own. But, and the second thing I have, and my voice is starting to go, that's handy. Like I said, still recovering.
Do vitamin C, kids. It's a hell of a drug.
All right. The second thing I have for tonight is for anybody who does development with Python. I found this project a little while back, and it is pretty comprehensive, pretty nice. It's called Beware. And it's at pybee.org. And this is a collection of open source Python projects that allows you to do development in using their Toga library, as well as their briefcase project, which will allow you to package a Python project with native GUI interfaces. So you can write a Python application using their libraries and then deploy it across Windows, Mac, Linux, Android, iOS, or a website. I thought that was kind of cool because I've been, you know, Python's kind of the programming language I use by default anymore. And they've got some pretty cool projects in here. One of them is the one
user
for Android.
User in your channel timed out.
Oh, we just lost RU. I'm sorry. I guess I bored him to death with the Python programming.
Well, it's that or it's Australian internet connections and thunderstorms.
Brought to you by Australia. Removing
come to Australia. You might accidentally get killed.
Unfortunately, encryption makes it hard for us to spy on you.
Wait, that wasn't the sound effect I thought it was.
But you're not wrong.
We're not after your dick pics.
Anyways.
The hell she isn't.
You fuckers too.
Anyways, this is a nice collection of Python projects for doing cross-platform development. I thought it was pretty cool, especially because you can write Android applications in Python. That's nice. And that's all I've really got for tonight. I'm losing my voice. So, Fox, closing thoughts or future news, whatever you prefer.
Closing thoughts, future news. Saw a couple articles on more augmented reality glasses coming out for things. Like, I'm for that. I mean, getting people's heads out of their asses is enough. But trying to get their eyes up back up where they're walking so they don't wander into traffic and get cell phones banned or anything like that.
I think that's just Darwinism, but okay.
Yeah, it should be. But think of the children.
In Sweden,
laws
they started
kind
putting
of
the signs on the ground.
Keep these people around and breeding. So if they're not going to allow us natural selection, they at least need to give us self-driving cars and
user joined your channel
heads-up displays. So that we don't have to deal with the stupidity of other people in our daily lives.
Good luck with that.
I know. I'm just let me have Narnia or whatever fucking land Peter Pan lives in, make believe whatever the fuck. But let me have this, goddammit.
Neverland?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, that's the one.
Madman, closing thoughts.
Ooh, I don't know if I could get internet at Neverland. I don't know if I want to live there. How to play video games.
Shit. You make a valid point, sir.
Hello, I'm from the Australian government. Do you have something to hide? Seriously, though, do you?
Yes, I do.
We're not
not that it's worth hiding. I just don't want you to know about it.
Oh, wait. Are you joined the channel again? I should stop playing with that sound.
Two Fox.
Are you? Yeah. Closing thoughts.
Oh, I don't really have any. Europeans posting that Article 11 and 13.
Oh, really?
That'll be interesting. Yeah, details are there.
Yeah, that's the whole like you can't link memes and shit. It's
yeah.
That's gonna
less than drawn. That's gonna stop internet bullying or.
Nightmares for a couple of weeks.
If
you don't have nightmares for a couple of weeks, a nice general just gave a lecture at Hillsdale on the future of warfare. We're going to have space marines.
Fuck yeah.
Hoo-ah.
America.
The U.S. hopefully first, but everyone eventually.
Towards a fucked up dystopia.
He's talking about lobotomizing soldiers so that they don't feel empathy or pain.
Yeah.
And drug augmentation.
Oh, this is some pretty interesting shit, man. It's pretty much everything entails the after now for super soldiers.
Great.
Hey, you don't want to feel pain anymore?
Pretty scary shit.
Put in the sticks, tell them you're on a mission. They may or may not rip out your spine and rape you with it.
Blood for the blood gods.
Skulls for the skull throne.
That's all I've got. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. Pure Galaxy 15 Radio subreddit in the IRC. Tonight we had me, Sardonyx's bot, Psychros, DPView, Iron Angel, and Madman. Cycross is talking about wearing yellow suits. I don't know if he's talking about the Flash or angry Space Marines. Okay, well.
Could be yellow vest. Let's look back up here. We go to French here?
I'm,
I don't see any of the Wii, so no.
I'm going to call it a night. Does anybody have anything before I play the closing sound effects?
Nope.
Nope. All right.
The end.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Time to go nose down and call it a night.
And if they refuse, we'll find the shit out of them.